Jonathan Gruber, a name that until recently we never heard of, is admitting that the voters have been made a fool of. And that's one of the reasons why the president was able to get by, or to get Obamacare through. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about illegal immigration and the upcoming amnesty coming up next on today's program.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And welcome again to the program. I'm Robin, picking up the wrong cue card to read at the opening of the show. And over there in the other studio, remote studio of Cottage Grove, is Cliff. How you doing, Cliff?
Absolutely fantastic. As a matter of fact, just fantastic. I just want to let you know that I'm fantastic.
Well, now everybody's fantastic. Speaking of being fantastic, it'd be really fantastic if somebody would give us a call. And I understand, Cliff, it's really easy to do that. How can we do that?
It's really easy. All you got to do is memorize the phone number.
Okay.
646. I'll give you the number.
Give me the number.
646-721-9887. Now, that's easy to remember. All you have to do is remember the 646-721-9887. That's the whole thing, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, anyway. just give us a call at that number, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you and talk about anything you want to talk about, because we're not difficult to get along with. We'll try anything once. Now, whether it works or not, that's another story. But.
Yes, we're always experimenting, and we're still experimenting with our audio, by the way, as we are trying different methods to clean it up, so to speak. So,
we want you to know that if you don't say what you want to say, or if you do say what you want to say, we'll give you executive amnesty.
Yes.
That's my new phrase. That's my phrase for today. Executive amnesty.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why should that be limited to the president? By the way, speaking of, if you are listening to the program on the archives, you can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And again, we're hoping to, in 2015, do more on Facebook, but believe it or not, we do have a Facebook page, and all programs, by the way, are archived and available on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes, and we have the chat room open as well. And by the way, a shout-out to Lady Michelle, who's in the chat room at the moment. Welcome back. And so, again, if we have suggested topics, but it's not limited to those topics, as we will and have talked about anything and can change directions abruptly. And a couple things that on the docket today is I was reading a quote earlier. Let me get to the headlines real quick here. Obamacare and illegal immigration amnesty is a couple of the hot points. And Cliff has some information on Ebola he wants to cover, but Jonathan Gruber has been a name that's recently popped up, and what's very interesting about that is that he's admitting that Obama, that they were lying to us to get Obamacare passed. Otherwise, no way it would have happened. In fact, in a way, it's kind of funny. I just stumbled on this literally about 20 minutes before we did the program. He says, late in September 2009, as President Obama addressed the joint sessions of Congress on his health care proposals, the proposals that would eventually be known as Obamacare, South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson abruptly and famously shouted, "You lie." who would know that being in 2014 that he was actually right on the money?
Well, maybe he thought he was. And you see, the thing is, that's how long ago was this?
2009. Yeah.
When?
2009. Right.
Now, you see, enough has been said between that 2009 and 2014 or 15 or whatever we're at now that somewhere along the line, it has to be true. So regardless of whether he knew it was true or whether he even thought it was true or whether it even was true at the time, that's a bunch of crap.
Right.
I mean, just to say something in 2009 and just remember that forever and then say sooner or later, regardless of what it is you said, it's going to be true. I mean, sooner or later, it's going to be a truth. And so I wouldn't even consider that.
Well, the point was, he saw through all of this.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. He didn't see through a thing. He just said something, and now it came true. You know, he didn't know it was going to come true. He didn't know it was right, it was wrong. He just happened to say the right thing. See, someone else probably said that too. It's just that they didn't document it.
Yeah. Well, I've been saying that ever since the Obamacare thing came out because, for one thing, it's impossible to read the whole bill. I mean, you can read the whole bill, but, you know, it veers off into different...
That's why they make the bills that way. They make them so big and so weighted down and so lengthy that they say anything. They're like the Bible. You can make the Bible say anything you want to.
Exactly. But, you know, I've been saying it from almost day one. You know, Obama is a used car salesman. And I could play audio about the promises that he made regarding Obamacare. You know, if you like your insurance, you know, you can keep your insurance, you like your doctor, et cetera, et cetera. But if a CEO of a company came out and made that claim, they would be in jail right now because of misrepresentation, fraud, and anything else you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, and I've got a book marked here, the president and anybody else, and this is how Nancy Pelosi got away with doing insider trading and Marcia Stewart got arrested, is that Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution says that they shall in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of peace be privileged from arrest during their attendance at session of their representative's house and going to and from returning from the same, and for any speech or debate either in the house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. So basically, they can do whatever they want to do without fear of consequence as long as they are, you know, in office. Now, once they're out of office, that becomes a little different deal.
And I disagree about that. I understand why it's there, and you want to be able to make your point made, your voice heard during that time, and not be afraid of being put in jail because of it. But on the same token, they have free rein now. They can say anything they want to say, whether it's true or not, and they do now. They don't really care about whether it's true. They just say any old thing they want to and just go ahead and do it. And they're overstepping their bounds, is what I'm saying. And something's got to be done about it. We've got to change something somewhere.
I agree. In fact, that's one of the reasons why if you look at the election map this last time, as the joke goes, there's more red on the map than Verizon has. I mean, even Oregon kind of turned red, which in a way is a good thing. People are getting upset.
What is the business about turning red? Why are you saying that?
Republicans are red.
I know, but I mean, why does that make Republicans right and the Democrats wrong?
Well, people are rebelling against the Democrats because the Democrats, Obama's a Democrat, and they've been, well, for example, Obamacare. Not one Republican voted in favor of it.
That's because it's stupid.
Republicans are stupid?
No, Obamacare is stupid.
Right, exactly. And for everything that's been going on, you know, the president getting out there, oh, stupid Republicans, you know, people are getting tired of it. Especially as Obamacare is coming more to fruition. When tax time comes up, they're already talking. What I've been saying for a long time is that if you don't have qualifying health care, you're going to pay a penalty, and you're going to, if you're counting on your refund, you're going to start seeing your refund get smaller. And now the news services are starting to say that it's going to start taking the penalties out of your tax refund first.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, the thing is, didn't we vote on this somewhere along the line?
Vote on what?
This whole bill that allowed him to take our tax refund.
No, we did not. That's why it went to the Supreme Court, and this is part of the Gruber's plan here, because as they said, I have to find in my notes, that they said that if they would have come out and been honest with the thing, how they were going to do this, the CBO would have never have allowed this to happen. That's why it started out as a fine. Well, then when it was challenged in the Supreme Court ruled that changed it over to a tax. And that's the only way that the IRS can be used to collect the fine, quote-unquote, is making it a tax. Otherwise, legally, there's no other way they could collect the money. But on the other side of the coin, according to the Constitution, I don't have it bookmarked, Congress is the only one that can enact a tax. That's what makes this law illegal.
See, it's getting to the point that the president has decided he can do any damn thing he wants to. And he can change things if he wants to. He can invoke anything and call it a law if he wants to. I mean, it's ridiculous. We've got to do something about changing the president. And I know we've got 2 years to do it, and it's going to happen and all that sort of thing. But you got to, the American public had better think about it. They better start thinking about it before they do any voting or electing someone else, because you could elect somebody else that's in the same position that the person you're talking about is. And you've got to change something here. I mean, if they don't change something, then it's the same thing as voting about it.
Well, that's why a lot of people put Republicans. They didn't care who the Republican person was. They just wanted the Republican person in there. And
well, that's where we've got to make a change, because this business, Republican or Democrat, and being diametrically opposed and thinking diametrically different, they're not supposed to be that different. They're supposed to be different parties, yes, but that doesn't make them think differently. It doesn't make them do things differently. It doesn't make them a different, well, I was going to say color, but the thing is, they aren't different people. They're just a little bit different. Consequently, we're getting carried away with this different.
Well, they're not different people, but it's a way of sending a message that we're not happy, because this is the only way we really have to do it, in addition to cards and letters. And one of the things that they're really hoping, and a lot of the Republicans got elected on repealing Obamacare, now some of them are saying, well, maybe we can make some difference, is that the one thing that the Congress has is Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, is the power of the purse, where they can come in and they can actually, you know, Obama can do whatever he wants to, but he can't spend a dime unless Congress appropriates it. And so if Congress says, yeah, we're not going to give you any money, it'll fail. You can't do anything.
But they always do give him money.
Well, that's the point, and that's what they're really hoping, that the people that recently got put into office will stand up and do something. I mean, Boehner, well, of course, Boehner, you know, who cares about him? He's a paper tiger, but that's why they're really pushing to get these things through on the lame duck session before the new members come in and, you know, take their place.
You know, this business of giving them a sneaky way out is always such a waste of time, because then if we really want to do something and do it right, we may have to go back and change it.
Well, and here's the thing, is that we have a checks and balance systems in place, but it only works if it's used. And the people that we put in, like the Harry Reids and whatever, that are, you know, like one reporter asked Harry Reid, and he got his bodyguard got shoved or shoved him. He asked Reid the question, is that how did you become a multimillionaire on a senator's salary? Of course, we all know the answer to that, but he makes a good point, is that these people come in, you know, they're not wealthy, but they leave wealthy.
Well,
heck, elect me. I'll go ahead and serve for one term, and I'll retire in life of luxury.
But you're going to have to work to get that. You have to change things. You have to make your point known and change the law in order to do that.
I just got to take money. Like, let's say Pepsi and Coke want to pass, have legislation that, you know, promote them. I'll just give me the T-shirt and, you know, a couple million dollars under the table, and I'll wear your T-shirt, you know, to whatever session I go to.
I would think that you'd get caught at that. I really would. People are looking for taking things under the table. That's why you're going to have to work very hard at becoming someone who makes a law and makes what you want to do legal so that you can have it legally.
Well,
I think people, you get too many people looking for things happening under the table.
Well, I think it is expected. I mean, for example, when they had, I can't remember what session it was, but it sucks getting old. Well, the gang at 8 or whatever, that I forget what the exact was supposed to do, something to do with economics, or not economics, but it was being funded millions of dollars by private companies, and it was kind of counterintuitive to the whole point of them getting together. And that I remember at the time, because we talked about it, you know, surprised that that they're doing this, and all these companies are putting money or donating money to this group that there's no reason to donate money to.
It was legal.
Yeah, it's legal. Yes.
I mean,
you weren't
doing something under the table in this particular case. You made the under the table part of it legal so that people could do so and get away with it. That's what I'm saying. In order to get what you want, you're going to have to work at making laws and working with laws and making things that should be illegal or perhaps were illegal, making them legal so you can get away with it.
Yes. Well, and unfortunately, again, because of the... things, money under the table or for whatever, is why we're stuck with Obamacare, why we got the president was, you know, waiting for after the elections to talk about amnesty. I still have to ask, though, and even locally here, you know, people in office, when they push these bills like Obamacare, for example, or illegal immigration, and they're really adamant about it, what do they get out of it?
Well, you can best bet that they've got some little legal gimmick or hole that they're sticking it in. They're getting something in there.
Right.
And sometimes there are people who literally make their voice known and make their opinions known and do so to actually further the United States. All the laws and things. They're not doing it for personal gain, believe it or not. There are some people who are legitimate.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely true. Like Cindy Wildreyer, for example, she's a former Lane County Commissioner. We've had her on the program a couple times. And I've asked her point blank, I says, why did you vote in favor of this bill that costs us money and does this? And she said, in all honesty, because I thought it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
She's being sincere about it. And that where after the fact, you know, after she was no longer commissioner, she kind of goes, I kind of wish I didn't. But at the time, she thought it was a positive thing.
Well, that brings up the point that maybe you better research it before you open your mouth or put down the pen to paper and vote for something, because, you know, it may look, may have this on the surface be okay, but it may not be okay, and we delve into it and look at the reality of what it's doing.
Right.
So you don't just lay down and lay your pen down and make a vote for something when you don't know what's going on.
Well, and again, back to Gruber, you know, lying to the American people. I mean, and we bought it. I mean, we were so desperate that, like you say, we bought it, and some people were hoping that, you know, I don't have insurance. Here's a way to get insurance. I mean, on the surface, in a way, it sounds like a good idea. But then you have the people that I wish I had the audio, the one that came out and said that, well, thanks to Obama and the Obama money, he's going to put gas in my car and pay my mortgage. You know,
right.
Including this free Obama.
You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Well,
almost 95% or 99% of the time, you have to think, and you have to think for yourself. I mean, that's the problem. See, our society has this tendency to want to not think. Has a tendency to want to just kind of lull it by and let it happen and let somebody else do it. Well, when somebody else does it, it doesn't always come out your way. And it may come out so far off your way that it's going to cost you money or take away your privacy or something.
Yeah. Well, and I know you're going to hate me for doing this, but because you criticize me every time I do it. But cut one.
I love these members that get up and say, read the bill. What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages and you don't have 2 days and two lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill?
Then you get them, and you take the time, and you make the time, and you don't vote. You slow things down to the point that you can read the bill.
Exactly.
It's important to read the bill. You know, you don't know if you don't know what's in it, you don't know how to vote. And if you don't know what's in it, you don't vote.
Exactly. And you don't do like Nancy Pelosi. You got to pass the bill to know what's in it. And that gets back to the whole point of we have these quote unquote representatives that are supposed to take the time. And even like Obama promised in 2008 that the transparency that we're going to see in the U.S. government is that any bill that comes across his desk will be available online for 5 days for people to review. That never happened. When the Affordable Care, Obamacare, I'll get it out, came out, it was over 2,000 pages. They had a really short deadline to go through and pass it, or, you know, to read it and pass it. And then when you have, like, John Converse here that comes out and says, why read it? Well, for one, it's your job. And two, if you don't have the time, if you're imposed these ridiculous deadlines, which, you know, the deadline is made up, as far as I know, it's made up.
Absolutely.
And you guys can't fight over it or, you know, debate it, like the whole reason why we have the Republican, Democrat, the two parts of the House, then you need to vote no, either no on it, table it, or do whatever. You do not pass a law just because, you know, the president says, hey, this is great, and everybody, we're just going to blindly pass it without even knowing.
You can't vote no on it because that's voting it and passing it.
No, but you can table the bill. Or
you can table it.
You can table the bill.
That's all you can do. But you can hang it up in the court, or in the House, rather, for a long period of time while you're making up your mind.
Right.
I mean, there is a way to do this, and people seem to have forgotten how. They don't seem to figure out how to control their own life and what they're doing. You know, but nobody seems to know what's going on in the House or in the Senate, in the Congress, let's put it that way. And so they just go along with whatever somebody says. Well, that's not the way it works. You need to, if you've got to take some more time to make up your mind, if you've got to take some more time to sit down and not only read it, but investigate it and find out why it says what it says and if it says what it says. Because you can read something and it sounds really good, and then you find out it really isn't very good.
Right.
So let's read it and investigate what it says and get it right the first time, and instead of just going in and voting yes or voting no it doesn't make any difference which way you vote if it's wrong. And if you're going to vote that way, then let's make sure we don't have to change our vote and do it all over again.
Well, that's true. In fact, every bill that's brought up, is not all bills are brought up for a vote. Some of them are they don't even make it that far.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point, is that, you know, a bill was brought up, is rushed through. Right there should have thrown in a red flag.
Yeah.
That something is wrong here, especially a bill that is extraordinarily huge like this one is. I mean,
well, they sit on it. The Speaker of the House or whomever just sits on it and waits until the very last moment to bring it up for a vote. And if that's the case, then I would just automatically say, no, I'm not going to vote on it, and stop it from right there. Because unless you give it to us and let us take the time to look at it and read it and digest it and find out if it's legitimate or not,
right,
it's not to be voted on. You can't do that.
Well, and the same thing for the American people is that I've heard people say they went by the sound bites, you know. Well, hey, we're going to have insurance for everybody. That's great. I voted for Democrat because, and I'm in favor of this because it's going to give insurance for everybody. Yeah, but it's going to cost this. You know, are you going to be, you know, as Nancy Pelosi tried to sell everybody, well, are you going to be a free rider? Are you going to be one of those that's not going to get health insurance? You're just going to be a free rider in the system? Well, that never caught on. But that was also one of Gruber's sayings, too, that Nancy Pelosi picked up. In fact, Nancy Pelosi, by the way, on a side note, and I don't have it in front of me, I'm just going by memory, is that she claims she never knew Gruber or even heard of him, but yes, she's quoted him on her website in the past. And they have copies of that online. You can look that up. But the whole point is that people they didn't read the bill. They didn't even glance at the bill. I mean, I took some time and I ran through it, especially the draft version before it became law. And there were some things that they changed or reworded in there, which I thank God they did. Everything from you hear about, well, there's things about having implants being required. In the final draft, that was taken out. But yes, it was in there about having being chipped. But that's the whole point, is that people don't take the time to read this stuff. They just go by the sound bites and think, hey, this is great. But like I said, and I've said this ever since it became law in 2016, when it goes into full effect, if you don't have qualifying insurance, you're going to be paying at least $2,000 per person in penalties. In fact, speaking of, as you've heard, that this year especially, insurance costs have gone up for people. In fact, sometimes over 100% people have lost their insurance because it doesn't meet the, as I've always said, qualifying requirements. The company I work for, we're in open enrollment season right now, and they came out and they said, I don't have the figures in front of me because I'm going to have to go through and figure it out, but they came right out and said, thanks to Obamacare, our premiums and our premiums are copay and the copay. Anyways, everything has gone up. The percentage-wise, I don't know yet, but everything has gone up. Our deductible is the word I'm looking for, has gone up as well.
Well, see, the thing is, you can set that. Okay, Nancy Pelosi, like you say, maybe she sits down and says she's read it. I very much doubt that she ever reads it. She assigns somebody else to read it and tell her about it, and you still don't get the actual gist of the words that way. You've got to do it yourself. We've got to hire, if I want to put it that way, or elect, if you want, people who can read, people who can think for themselves, who can sit down and interpret what they've read for themselves, instead of relying on somebody else. You can't just let somebody else do it for you and then tell you about it, because it comes out different. And if that person, I don't care how reliable that person is that you have telling you about it, or how reliable you think he is or she is, you've got to read it yourself. You've got to understand it yourself. And if we can't put the people in office that have the ability to read something and understand it, then we should change them, because that's the most important thing we've got going for us, is to understand what bills and what laws and what things are put before these people to read and to figure out for themselves and to figure out for us. There's got to be a way we've got to get the right people in there, and we can only do so if they prove that they can do it.
Well, not only that, but as a proposed 28th Amendment, is that if you pass a law, like say you're sitting in Congress, and you can come up with any law you want to because you don't care. It doesn't affect you. Like the Obamacare, they're exempt from it. So it's not gonna bother them until they go into the private sector, and even then there's probably a way around it. But if they were subjugated to every law that they passed, then maybe they would think twice before putting their signature on the bill.
See, that's we've got to make sure that they are. I mean, this idea of exempting anybody—I mean anybody—from the law for any reason is wrong. They can't be exempt. I mean, even if they're making up the law, especially if they're making up the laws, we can't make them exempt from them in any way.
Right.
They've got to be responsible for what they do.
And that gets back down to the whole thing about the public being lied to blatantly regarding the Obamacare, no matter what the bill says itself. I mean, our president, you know, the executive officer in the highest office in the nation, coming out and telling us, and promoting that, you know, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor, et cetera, and outright lying to the American people. And like evidence is coming out, you know, it was set up as a deception to get this bill passed, and what's actually happening because of it. The bill should be stopped. It should be frozen at the moment, instead of enforcement to continue on. Same thing with the other stuff that President Obama has done that is unconstitutional, how he's allowed to get away with it, even though some of the stuff here says explicitly in the Constitution that he can't legally do this, and how he's actually able to do it and make it law is beyond me.
Well, it's because we are sitting around on our dead butt and not doing anything about it. Nobody is. The public is just doesn't care. They want the government to run by itself, and they want the people that they've hired or elected to put in place to be honest. Well, there's no reason for them to be honest. I mean, there's every reason for them not to be, because they make money if they're not honest, and probably don't make much money if they are honest. So what are we doing wrong here? How are we deciding who we're going to put in any position to elect to an office? I mean, how do we check on them? How do we don't. We haven't. The general public doesn't bother.
No, reason is that for most part, especially when it comes down to the federal government, except for like World War II or something like that, how many times does something that the federal government does affect you directly?
No, I haven't ever sat down to figure it out. But
yeah, well, except for your income tax, really what they do, we don't really see as an individual. I mean, the federal government does
maybe
a lot. But,
because we're not looking.
Well, yeah, we're not looking. But, I mean, we go through our daily lives. You know, we go to work, we come home, we pay our bills, we complain about all these fees and stuff on our bills and how much money we don't have and how much it costs and whatever. And, you know, every day the federal government goes in and they do their thing and they pass thousands of laws every year, and most of it doesn't directly affect us. Obamacare affects every American for the moment in the entire nation to the point that you can't avoid it. And as time goes on, things are going to get even more apparent as it gets more in your face. Because now you have to prove, like, for example, when you do your taxes, you have to prove that you have a qualifying insurance, or you're going to pay the penalty.
Well, maybe, I don't know if that's good or bad, but maybe it's going to turn out to be good. Maybe it's going to wake the American public up, and we're going to have to think about what we're doing for a change.
Well, it is. This last election kind of sent a message. But the bad thing about it is some of these people that get elected are going, well, okay, yeah, the American people sent a message, but, you know, we're here now, and this is the failing of our systems. I lied to you to get elected. I'm elected. You can't do anything about me for the next couple of years. I can do whatever I want. I'm in office now.
That's the thing. I mean, we put the people in office, and I know you are the only one that I've heard of that are talking about, you know, kicking somebody out for some reason or other.
Right.
We can do that. We can do that. And we just never do, because once we've elected them to the office that we've put them in, we figure they're going to do the job. Well, we should be paying attention to whether they are or not. And if they're not, do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. We do have systems in place, like, for example, the powers of impeachment, which is in the Constitution. But that takes – there's a process that has to be done. There's been a lot of threats to do it, but nobody stepped forward and actually have done it. And again,
well,
I think
they tried. To the point of almost doing it at one time, but it, or maybe twice. But twice in what, 100 years? And we just, when we really didn't do it, we just came very close.
Yeah, you're right, like Clinton, whatever, but.
Yeah.
And the reasons for even suggesting impeachment was, well, not treason, but, you know, something else, and which brings up another point about the big picture that Obama is doing, you know, like with the health care, and now we're waiting on his decision, which, unfortunately, why is it his decision on immigration?
Well, that's the thing. It shouldn't be his decision, and especially if he's going against what we have expected to do in the past, or what the law says, if he's making a difference, then it's wrong. We shouldn't be going by his opinion. I mean, we should look at what the law says. And we're just too lazy as people to look it up and to bother to read it. I mean, I understand that it's hard to read. There's a lot to read, but if you want things to be different, if you want things to run the way they're supposed to run, you better get your butt in gear and read it.
Right. Well, that's the whole point. Is like Obama does not have. By the way, 646-721-9887. If you'd like to join this conversation or change the direction, by the way, 646-721-9887. Obama does not have the power himself to do anything with immigration. In fact, Article 1, Section 8, Congress is the only one that can really change the immigration laws. But Obama is going to come out here and, you know, offer amnesty for at least 5 million illegals, and that will grow from there. And what gives him the power to do it, but apparently he's going to do it. But even he said a couple years back that he, at a rally, that, you know, well, I'd do it if I could do it, but I don't have the powers to do it. Now, apparently, all of a sudden, he feels he does.
Well, he's gotten away with enough things in the past, recent past, that he's getting bolder, and that's not a good word, but more bold, whatever. He's just decided he can do it and get away with it.
Right.
And chances are he will. That's the sad part, because we aren't doing anything about it. So, it's, you know, I'm telling you, you've got to wake up. You've got to read things. The Internet makes this whole thing so much easier than it ever has been before.
You don't have
to wait for the newspaper. You don't have to listen to it on the radio or watch it on the television. You've got it on the Internet, and you've got it on the computer screen, and you can bring it up anytime you want to read it and to digest it and to read it over and over and over if you need to. I know I find myself in a lot of these things reading over and over and over before I really understand what they're saying.
Well, and when you get right down to it, as again, more articles are coming out, especially regarding Uber. Apparently, he was also involved in the amnesty bill that the president's been trying to put together, and, you know, called the Dream Act.
Yep.
And so, I mean, They're counting on, in fact, even as, again, as the professor from MIT has been saying, is that with the ACA, or Obamacare, and also the issue for amnesty, they are relying on, to quote, stupid American people to go along with all of this. And unfortunately, because of the lack of research, or somebody going, I want my free Obama phone, or whatever self-serving type of thing they want to do, or the fact that I get too depressed, I don't want to get involved in politics, or I don't care, or, you know, like a lot of, what, very large percentage didn't even get out and vote. Well, they're frustrated. And but this allows them, like Obama said, those people that voted for Republicans, I hear you. And those people that didn't vote, I hear you too.
Yeah, yeah. There are 500,000 children specifically waiting for amnesty in the form of a permanent residency or benefits, including health care, education, housing and welfare, whatever. They're just expecting them. And whether they're going to get them or not is another story, but it seems like they're probably going to.
Well, and this brings up a question that I'm going to throw out there to people, is that if you go on YouTube and you look up Border Patrol, especially like Arizona Border Patrol, immigration checkpoints, there's tons of videos out there where people are getting stopped 100 miles away from the border in these checkpoints, and the Border Patrol agents are asking people, are you a U.S. citizen? You answer yes or no, and if you answer no, then they want to see your visa or whatever. And there's been several people recently that have been standing up, and they've been recording this, putting it on YouTube, and have actually said, I refuse to answer, you don't have the right to detain me, and they've been actually been getting arrested. One guy actually went to jail. They sued the Border Patrol, and they won. But I mean, these Border Patrol agents are breaking out windows to pull people out of their vehicles for just simply refusing to answer the question, are you an American citizen? In fact, on a side note, when I took a train trip to North Dakota, we had to go through Washington State, and we stopped for about an hour as these armed military people came through the train, and they asked everybody, are you a U.S. citizen? You had to verbally answer. Well, here's the point. If they're doing this 100 miles away from the border, like, in Arizona, what are they doing on the border where you got millions of people that are sneaking across?
Well, this gets back to the business of what are you going to do? How are you going to protect the border? How are you going to do anything on the border? You can't. It seems to me you've got to enforce this law all over, not just on the border. It's got to be the same enforcement all over the country, because that's the only way you can enforce the law at all. Because you can't just enforce the law on the border and let them get away with it anywhere else, because that means that you're going to have people trying very hard to get through the border and get somewhere else. And it's just, we're not even thinking about it or going about it in the right way, I don't think. We've got to think about this in a different way. We've got to make it illegal everywhere.
Exactly. Well, and that gets back to, when you really look at it, the whole reason for doing anything, like, I mean, as the truth comes out, like Jonathan Gruber and everything that he's involved in, as things are moving forward, it's all going to come out in the water sooner or later. I mean, President Obama doesn't care right now because he's only got a couple years left, and he's gone. But like I say, we're not going to impeach him. The Constitution makes him totally immune from anything that he does at the moment, which is part of the reason why, we got Ebola coming in. Yeah, I'm not going to restrict traffic or do anything like that. We got things going on. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm going to go do a fundraiser because that way I feel good. And I feel like a superstar. People are glad to see me, except for one where everybody walked out on him. But as things are going forward,
that's happening more and more everywhere.
Exactly. As more and more with Jonathan Gruber, says, this is from Newsbusters, who confesses that the Obama administration deliberately sold its program by lying about it, and now it's tied to supplying data on healthcare for those illegal immigrants who would instantly become beneficiaries of the same ACA once they are granted amnesty.
Yeah.
So here's how one is tied into the other.
Well, that's this amnesty thing. How do you decide who's going to get amnesty and who isn't going to? I mean, and who is to decide? Is that Obama's domain to make that decision? No, I don't think so. We've got, you know, what is our Congress doing? What is our House? What is our legislature doing? And they're just sitting on their butts listening to all of this, or are they thinking about it?
Well, that's the whole point. And I mean, we have the checks and balances in place. I mean, have we become so lame, to be blunt? I mean, look at the attendance of the people that we elect. Very few of them show up for every session.
No, they're not going to show up for every session. We should have certain sessions that we should have everybody there. I understand that legislators and senators and such are supposed to work at home, are supposed to do things at home. They're supposed to accomplish something at their own home state. But they do need to be all together at one place in Washington, D.C., here, wherever they are there, that at one time or another, or maybe four times a year or whatever, that they should be there to take a vote of what they're doing. And they should all be there want them there long enough to understand what they're voting on, not just voting helter-skelter and willy-nilly, just voting to be voting. And we need to be there, have enough time there to understand what's being voted on. And we aren't doing that. We're requiring them to be in a specific place. And consequently, they're not there any one given time.
Well, that's where you can, as you mentioned earlier, use the fad known as the Internet, is that you can have now, and I don't know if it's legal or not, but you have now what's called virtual presence. Where there's
I don't think we should do that because you don't know who's there pushing the buttons for them.
No, what I'm saying is that you do it. Virtual presence means that your representative is on a monitor. You know, you have like a monitor, you know, in their spot or whatever, so that you see them actually there, and they're participating live, so they don't have to physically be in D.C. to make a vote on something. But, of course, right now the Constitution says that they have to be. But
we're paying them to be there.
That's the whole point. We're paying them a huge salary to be there. Some claim that they, cost a lot of money to have two residences. Well, fine. You know what? We'll go buy a hotel across the street from the White House or whatever, and you can stay there free. We'll pay for it. We pay for everything else you do.
We may as well own the hotel.
Exactly. There's no excuse for them not doing their job. And
you don't have two residences. I mean, it's silly. You can. There are enough daily and weekly and monthly places you could rent to do your thing. That should not be a hindrance. That should not be a problem. Because, again, we're paying them extra money. We're paying them the money to do that. That is a part of their job.
Right.
And if they're not there, then we should get somebody who will be there.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you've heard of secure neighborhoods. You know, we can have a secure neighborhood that, granted, we're going to put all of our representatives in one spot. But we can provide housing for them. In fact, I just, as I'm reading more of these articles in here, too, especially how the illegal immigration amnesty ties into Obamacare is one thing comes to mind, and Gruber kind of sums it up a little bit. Of course, we kind of figured this out last year, that the Obamacare, and one of the reasons why it wouldn't have sold, part of the lies, is depending on people that are healthy to pay into it. So you subsidize the people that, like older Americans that are going to be using it, which you think, hey, that's the whole point of having this. So by bringing in, 15, 20 million people and putting it on Obamacare brings in that much more revenue for Obamacare, which, of course, adds more money to the insurance companies and the subsidies for them, which, of course, the lobbyists, et cetera, you know, the whole brain, the whole can of worms that goes with that downhill. There's a lot of money to be made, which is the only reason why anybody does anything like this. It's not just that out of the goodness of our heart, we feel that we should provide health care for everybody. No, the people are making profits on this.
Oh, yes. Most definitely. Yeah, this country at least runs on the almighty dollar, like it or not, and consequently, unless you can make a buck, you're not going to bother to worry about it. And that's the thing. A lot of people who are just general citizens and are voters, believe it or not, just sit back and they listen to it and they accept what someone else is saying, not realizing that that someone else is being paid to say it by somebody somewhere along the line.
Right.
And maybe we should listen to someone who isn't being paid to say it. And who would that be? Who do we have to listen to? I don't know.
Well, the people are slowly starting to wake up. I mean, I'll give Oregon as an example. The governor, without the vote of the people, passed a law which allows undocumented people in Oregon to have driver's license. In Oregon, citizens are allowed an 8-year driver's license. This law would give undocumented people a 4-year driver's license. In Oregon, because of the Federal ID Act, a U.S. citizen has to prove that they are a U.S. citizen or, you know, legally in the area by showing a birth certificate, visa, or whatever. And under the law that was passed, all you had to do was show that your proof of residence, that you've been here for a year. Well, after the governor went ahead and did that, and people said, wait a minute, stop. So we put together a petition and got it on the ballot, and there was huge money in favor, you know, promotion of in favor, like about $200,000 to try and promote this bill through, and very little money for against it. Well, when the vote came up, it was a 2-1 against allowing illegal aliens to have driver's license. So that's kind of the separation about where the government is, you know, like our governor saying, yeah, I'm going to go do this, but the people actually are saying no.
So what happens? Does the governor get away with it, or do the people have the final say-so?
Well, here's the thing, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't vote, is now it may go to the courts and be challenged. And like, for example, the death and dignity law that Oregon has, it was challenged. We voted on it, I believe, 3 times, and the courts, I believe, overturned it. And they said, well, the reason why we're going to have you guys vote again, because you really don't understand what you're voting for. And we voted in favor of it again and finally got it passed. It's like, yeah, we know what we're voting for. Yeah, suicide is, well, it's not really suicide, but, I mean, if you are in pain and you have a, what do they call it, a terminal disease, this is your way out instead of spending in, you know, another 6 months suffering like crazy.
Yeah. And then the thing is, if we voted for it one time, that should be all we need. I mean, unless I suppose the thoughts of the general public can change over a period of time, but it's going to have to be a long period of time. They're not going to change monthly or 4 years from now or whatever. But the thing is, once we've voted for it, once you voted for it, when it's too late, I mean, it's done. Now, unless you want to rechange it or change the wording or change how the bill is put together so that it does take up something different than what it took up before, it should be left alone. And nobody seems to believe that. Everybody seems to think they can change the wording of something to suit them, and then we vote on it, and everything is okay. Well, people get a little leery of that. But the thing is, leery or not, worried or not, you've got to read the bill. You've got to read the information about the thing. You've got to go online. It's not that hard to do. It doesn't take that long. And, you know, there's nothing on there that should take you too long to do it at all. And if people go online and try to read something, I'm sure that sooner or later people are going to condense things and put them online, the condensed version, so you can read that and get the idea of what it is. And when you have one person or one group of people doing that and condensing it and making it available, and somebody reads it, if they disagree with what they say, they'll put their own version on. And you've got lots of information to choose from. It's just not that expensive to do. It's not that hard to do. All you got to do is think about it for a while, the person writing it, and then the person reading it should also think about it too.
On that same note, and Lady Michelle just gave me a link, which I went ahead and looked up, but I get so tired of us bending over to Muslims. And but anyways, the article is that Muslims, not Columbus, discovered Americas. And they're saying that I was kind of summary here, that the Americas were discovered by Muslims in the 12th century, nearly three centuries before Christopher Columbus even set foot here. So,
well, what does that mean? I mean, they could have been discovered by anybody, but they didn't do anything about it.
Exactly. They didn't claim it or do whatever. But that, you know, I mean, we're running out of time here, but, you know, we are trying to change our history there that we're teaching in schools because we don't want to offend anybody. Just like, for example, real quick here, this is an article I read the other day. There was a woman in Walmart that was dressed in full burqa. Even the eyes were covered and everything. And the reason why this became an issue, because when she was at the checkout, she was commenting that the checkout clerk had a Canadian flag on, you know, a little pin on her shirt. And this is in Canada, by the way. And the woman commented about that, saying that, you know, I'm a little offended that you're kind of have the flag. And somebody in line mentioned, you know, it's because of the freedoms that we have here in Canada is why you are allowed to, one, be here in full burqa garb, which anybody else, if you go in disguised like that, you know, one, you'd be arrested because there are laws against concealing yourself. And two, allows you to have the freedom to express your views, just like this clerk has the freedom to express their views as they are proud of their country.
Really?
And so that's something that people forget.
Yeah. The freedoms that we have are something we often forget because they just come natural to us. And they aren't natural. They are something we need to work on. They are something we need to work to make an effort to continue to have.
Yeah. And speaking of an effort, again, I want to thank everybody in the chat room, Lady Michelle, a guest, CLG. Hope you come back. Check us out next week, 4 p.m. Pacific time. If there's a topic you'd like to talk about, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Again, appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Have a good one.
Have a good day.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.